Let us hear the law of the Lord our God, which I shall be reading from Exodus chapter 20. Let us respond afterwards by singing from number 373, the stanzas 7, 8, and 9. Thy name shall abide, O Jehovah, through all generations renowned. The Lord is the judge of his people, his mercies forever abound. 373. And God spake, and is speaking all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Amen. From chapter 8, we'll read the first 9 verses, and then we'll move to verse 10 in the next chapter. The Word of God. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father he like me, to make me king over all Israel, and of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, and I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all things, all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And then the next chapter, beginning at verse 10 through 19. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and it is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Blessed are they who hear, understand, and also keep God's holy word. For our text, I'd like to call your attention to our first reading from chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28, specifically verse 9. These words, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Beloved congregation, Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 4, One generation passes away, but another generation comes. In a certain sense, we could say that there are always two generations alive. A coming generation and a going generation. And you're either part of the rising generation or the going generation. And time goes so very fast. It seems like the one day you're coming and the next day, that's an overstatement, you're going. We sing, don't we? We could have sung it this morning, I didn't think of it. But time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. This morning, David, in our text, is addressing the younger generation, the rising generation, spoken to specifically his son Solomon. And by this time, David is, I don't know if you would call this old, but an old man, 70 years of age. And he is addressing him as the next king, the king of the two generations, that there is a transition taking place. Let's think of that aspect. Last week, the message was particularly for the parents. You might say, teach your children diligently. And today, we could say that the message is distinctly, or mainly, to the rising, the next generation, the children. And you just need to remember, young people, that when we say young to you, it won't be very long, and you'll be among those who are also a little older. And one day you will be as we older ones are today. Old, 70, 80, 90. You could say that this morning the message is from the older generation to the younger generation, but it is under God, because God inspired these words and are written in the scriptures. So remember that, young people, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not coming back in your lifetime, then the day will be there quite quickly that you'll be in the places of us older ones. And just remember that the Bible does not address only the older ones, the grown-ups, but also you. And this morning the Lord comes especially to you, and he says in our text, Solomon, my son, so it's a message for Solomon, but I have made it my theme, a message to children and young people. And we will try to briefly look at what we must learn, what we must remember, and then what you can expect. So, a message to children and young people, what you must learn, what you must remember, and what you can expect, what you must learn. Trying to find a start for our sermon, beloved congregation, and let me do it in this way. Young people, children, you know the stories of David, don't you? When he was a shepherd. And when Samuel came to town to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to become king, and they thought it would not be David, but it turned out to be David, remember? And you will know the story about Goliath. David, under God, killing Goliath. And you'll know the stories about David marrying a daughter of King Saul, Michal. But then he had to flee constantly from his father-in-law, from the king, because he wanted to kill David. In those years, David was young. In the chapter that we read, those two chapters, he is old, as I said. David says in one of the Psalms, I wonder if you know which Psalm that is. I won't mention it, but maybe you can talk about it in Sunday school. But David says in one of the Psalms, I have been young and now I am old. You know which Psalm that is? Well, think about it. In our text he says, or in our text in the passage, that's why I read the next chapter, 2:29, he says, we are strangers before thee. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Life is going so very fast. Because David was now an old man, the people in Jerusalem did not see David as regularly as they used to. He'd stay indoors. They had to put extra clothes on him. He was so cold, and still when they had done that, he was cold. He was seldom seen. And one of his sons, Adonijah, who had no love for God and no love for his father, determined that if he plotted to make himself king, his dad was so old, so feeble, he would simply let him get away with it. So Adonijah made a plot to become king. He had friends to help him to proclaim himself as king. Then when David was informed about Adonijah's plot, he stirred himself. He took action. And he determined that Solomon, as God had said to him, was going to be the future king and not Adonijah. And then David surprisingly called for a meeting, an assembly. And he called many people to come there. The leaders over all Israel. And they came in hundreds. And then in verse 2 we read, then David the king stood up upon his feet. Now that sounds like an easy thing to do when you're young. You just get up and you stand. But this time that must have meant something for David. That took effort as an old man. And then he addressed the people that had come there. And the intriguing thing is that David did not speak really a whole lot about himself. And what he said about himself was really under God, because it was all about the Lord, you might say. And the next generation. And the next generations, because a great temple had to be built in Jerusalem, a beautiful building, and God himself would dwell there. And then as he was speaking to all these people, all of a sudden he turned to his son Solomon and addressed Solomon. He wanted everybody to hear what he was going to say to Solomon. Not only that he was going to be the king, but especially the words of our text. You know, David could have said, it's a long speech, it takes a lot of effort, I'm only going to talk to those people and I'll talk to Solomon individually at home. No, he wanted everybody to hear what he would say to Solomon. And he said, and thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. What was David saying? He was saying two things to his son Solomon. First of all, he said to Solomon, you need to learn to know God, the Lord. Now what does that mean? To get to know God. If you know somebody, then you know something about that person. You know where he lives, what he does. Then you know about that person. You probably know about Mr. Stephen Harper. He's the Prime Minister in our country. And maybe you know a lot about Mr. Stephen Harper. Maybe you even met him at a picnic or so where he was. Maybe you even shook his hand. Maybe you were even on a picture with Mr. Harper and Mrs. Harper. But if I would ask you, do you know Mr. Harper? Really, do you know him well? No. I know about him. I look at my picture. Now that's how many people know about God. They know certain things about God. There are many people who don't know anything about God. They just have some thoughts. There must be something up there. Some controller. But you can know many things about God and still not know God. That's why it's so important that you must learn your Sunday school lessons. And in catechism, your catechism lessons. And at home, listen when the Bible is read. And together you study the scriptures. And then you should think, I need to, maybe mom and dad say, fold your arms. Or fold your hands. I know, oh, that's how I must come to know the Lord. Better. I need to learn. I need to memorize. And if you in Sunday school, for example, or at home, have questions about God and about yourself, you should ask those questions. Your teacher or your parents can help you find the answer in the scriptures. But David doesn't say to Solomon, Solomon, make sure that you learn a lot about God. But he says, know thou the God of thy father. That means knowing him in a close, intimate, personal way. Not only that this is what dad does, he's always gone. No, but get to know your father. And now here in terms of God. And it's really something like when your daddy has been gone to work and he comes home. And you don't simply say, hi dad, and you do your own thing. No, you have to spend time with dad. Dad, you have some time? Can we play together? You read me a story. And then you get that closeness with your father or with your mother. And then you don't only know about your dad, but then you can say as you grow up, I know my dad. He spends a lot of time with me. And I with him. And that's how it is also with God. That you must learn to know about him. But also learn to know him. The God of your father. And so when in Sunday school or in catechism you learn about the names of God. And you have to memorize those names. And the attributes of God. They're all lessons to be learned. Especially because you and I are persons with a sinful heart. Knowing God, by nature, that doesn't appeal to us. And yet we have to be taught about God. That he is God, triune. That he is a spirit. That he is holy and we are sinful, fleshly. But now how can we get to know God? Think of Samuel, remember? Samuel, he'd grown up with his mom and dad, and then when he was a little boy, he was taken to the tabernacle, and there he helped the high priest and the other priests. And there he learned many things about God. And yet we read in the scriptures, Daniel did not yet know the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:7. What's the difference then? He knew about the Lord, many things about the tabernacle, but he did not personally know the Lord. How can you come to know the Lord then? Well, the Lord came to Samuel, as he came to you already in your baptism, and he said, I'm God, I'm the God of your father, I'm the God of your mother, and I want to be your God too. And I promise you all you need for your body and for your soul. That's how it was in Samuel's life. And then Samuel, he didn't only need to hear the voice of God, but he had to give an answer. Samuel, Samuel. Oh, that's Eli. Remember, he ran to Eli. And eventually Eli told him, no, next time it happens, then say, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. And sure enough, that next time came that same night. Samuel, Samuel, speak. For thy servant heareth. That's that personal knowledge of God. You need to know him. You can fear the Lord. That's also important. That's the beginning of wisdom. But you need to know him yourself. Now you are, I already said you were baptized. Most of us, perhaps maybe all of us. That's a great blessing. Samuel had been circumcised. His mother knew God personally, had prayed to the Lord, remember? And then brought him back to the Lord. You can have my son, Lord, here, working in your tabernacle. So it wasn't enough for Samuel to say, oh, my mother knows the Lord, I think I'm going to be okay. No, he said, speak, Lord. And then the Lord spoke to him. As he speaks to us through his word and spirit. And then when you sit in Sunday school, you have to listen to the teacher, but don't only focus on the teacher, but focus on the Lord. And then you will be praying to Him too. And then when you pray, then you say, Lord, speak to me. Show yourself to me. Save me from my sins. You promised me a new heart. Give me, O Lord, a new heart. See, that's the first thing you and I have to learn. We have to know about Him. And we have to come to know Him personally. But David says to his son, one more thing, Solomon. You also have to learn to serve Him. Because he says, serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. It means to worship Him, to do His commandments, to do His will all your life long. All your life long. And with a willing heart. You know, sometimes mom says, you go clean up your toys. I don't feel like it. Yeah, but you have to clean up your toys. Okay. And you go to that area where you've played with your toys and you clean them all up. And the mom says, that looks good. And then you think, but I didn't feel like doing it. Now don't serve the Lord that way. Say, okay, I'll do it, but I don't like it. Because it says, with a perfect and a willing heart. God calls you and me to serve Him, to love Him, to obey Him willingly. Do you do that? Or do you disobey? And do you say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. Well, that's your sinful heart. And you need to turn from your sinful heart, from your sin. And ask the Lord for an obedient heart, a loving heart, and then serve Him all the time, really all the time, not just on Sundays, all the time, with a perfect and willing heart. Now, before I leave this first point, congregation, I just would like to ask the parents as well. We ask the children, do you do this, but do you know the Lord? Or only about the Lord? Do you serve Him with a perfect heart? Can you say that? I know the God of my Father. And do your children know that? I may have mentioned that last week. There are children who sometimes say to a minister, at least I've had some say to me, I'm not talking about this congregation, when we got into a personal conversation, they said, you know, I don't even know if my dad is a Christian. I see him do things. I hear him the way he talks to my mom and to his own parents. He sometimes yells at them. The message is for you too, fathers and mothers. Know thou the God of thy Father. And remember, we are speaking about serious things. I may use simple illustrations, but these are serious and solemn things. The Lord says that He will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Now God is speaking to you this morning, and He says, know thou the God of thy Father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing heart. You fathers need to become as a little child. In all humility of heart and dependence on Him. And say, speak Lord, thy servant, this old father, 45 years of age already, heareth. My ears have been deaf for so long. I've been such a poor example to my children. But Lord, show me thyself. And have me know thyself. And if the Lord becomes your Lord, then you too will be able. And you will, and you should say to your children, son, know thou the God of thy Father and serve Him. Oh, that's the first point. What we must learn And then what we need to remember, David says, "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts." It almost sounds like David says to Solomon, "You need to know the Lord because the Lord knows you, Solomon. He sees you. He knows your heart, your soul, your thoughts. And you need to know him closely, personally. Because God doesn't just look at your actions, but he sees deep within your heart. He knows whether there is truth in the inner parts of your life, or whether it's all routine, custom, superstition, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, perhaps." David says to Solomon, as it were, "Solomon, God is not like the idols of our neighbors in other lands who can't even see. They are made by men. God sees the heart. He knows what is fake and what is real. He knows if your heart is empty of God. He has an all-seeing eye. He has created us." And David says in another psalm, and he sang it a moment ago, "Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou art acquainted with all my ways." And so, congregation, there is no deceiving of God. We can deceive people. We can deceive, did you know? We can even deceive ourselves. But we cannot deceive God. You can deceive your father and mother. Don't you do it. But when your dad says to you, "Did you do that?" You can, with a straight face, maybe even say, "No. I wasn't even there." Later on, you know you were lying. You can go to bed at night and there's this voice that says, "But you lied to your dad." Well, I don't want him to know the truth. But God knows the truth. You can't lie to God. Remember that. Let that drive you to seek the Lord. And think of it. If the Lord knows you, and that knowledge is an intimate, a personal knowledge, a relationship. If God knows you, would you not want to know him? God can see into your heart. Would you not want to see into God's heart? His gracious heart? His loving heart? His pure and holy heart? You see, God sees our hearts, and our hearts by nature are evil. But if we can come to know him, then he shows us his heart. And then what do we see? Not an evil heart, but God's perfect heart. God sees what is in our mind. And God finds sin everywhere in our life. But if we get to know God, we learn to see what is in his mind, and it's all good and holy and kind. And God sees all that we have done wrong. But when you get to know God, then you see all the right that he has done and is doing and ever will be doing. And then you will say, "What an awesome God." And you come to adore him. God sees all that we are. And when we know him, even if we know him a little bit, then we see the glory of who God is. Our Maker, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. And we see that God is even willing to redeem us from the evil mind of ours, our sinful heart, and even our sinful imaginations. He takes such sinful people and he shows them his heart, his mind, his love, his grace. And he can do it because he sent his son. And his son is the only one who had from eternity a perfect heart, who became a man, assumed flesh and blood from the Virgin Mary, and he lived here. He lived here, and he showed to the people who he was. He revealed God and the attributes of God in him and his grace. And he could even say, God's law is in my heart. And then he went to the cross and he paid the price for the sins of other people, not his own. For people who have sin-stained minds, he laid down his life. He bore the burden of God's wrath. Such a Savior came from the lineage of David. Remember? In the fullness of time. Will you remember that? O congregation, if you think of that God searches your and my heart, can you think of that in a Christian way? And then it becomes a comfort that God searches our heart. Or to an unconverted person, that God knows and searches his heart is an alarming thing. Because God sees and knows everything, you see. But if you are struggling with the sins in your life, and you seek to have redemption from your sin, then that God knows your heart. He knows the secret recesses of your heart better than you know those yourself. That can be a comfort, especially if you go like Peter and say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest all things. Oh Lord, I don't know how to say it all. And I don't know what it all entails, but thou knowest I love thee. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou knowest how sinful I am. But thou also knowest that I cannot deny that I love thee for Jesus' sake. Well, that's the second point, congregation. What we need to remember, and then trying briefly what we can expect, a promise and a threat, both. Because he first of all says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. Now think of that. If you seek him, you will be found of him. God promises that if you seek him, you will not seek in vain. Well, to seek him means that you indicate that you need him. And seeking God, congregation, takes effort. You need to do something. Don't simply say, I've been baptized, I think that's good enough. No, you need to do something. If you seek him, he will be found of you. Who are the people who were found of him? Not the people who never sought him. We have to seek him. And where can we seek him? How can we seek him? Jesus says in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the picture, you see. Maybe you know that the history of gold diggers, people who went out west into the California and many other areas, to remote and wild places. You can visit the ruins of where they did their seeking for gold. You know that many of them drowned in floods and in deep places. Many were buried under the snow. It's something like that, but not to lose your life. It's to seek him, to be found of him. Search the scriptures. So there it is. For they testify of me. You need to see God in honest and regular prayer. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. And God's promise is that every true seeker will find him. Not a half seeker. Not a part-time seeker. But everyone who seeks him, he'll be found of them. And remember, Kange, seeking is not the same as finding. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm only a seeker. That's not good enough, congregation. Seeking is not finding. You need to find him. You must have him. He needs to know that your heart is crying out to him. And in Christ, all that call on him in truth, in him a ready helper finds. O Lord, let me find thee. Say to my soul, I am thy Savior. Do not fear. And the Lord makes himself known in the scriptures, especially in Christ on the cross, when you see him on the cross, not for another, not for himself, but for another, for me. He promised his blood to avail for me, even to the vilest of sinners who comes and seeks him. But there is also a thread. If you will not seek him, then you will be cast off. That's also in the Bible congregation. I often think, as I am aging, many of my school friends have died. Many have attended a number of schools. Many of my school friends have died. And many of children even whom I have baptized in the churches or who have made confession of faith in the churches where I have been privileged to serve, many have died before me. And sometimes I have sat down with young people who want to know part of God and of their baptism in our own churches. I said, Pastor, I just don't believe it. And I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. Please, I want you to go. And I think often how many of those will be now in hell. Today is the day of grace. You don't need to be cast off by God. You may come to know God as your God, Christ as your Christ, the Spirit as your Spirit. If you seek him, you will find him. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, we marvel at the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message from one generation to another and throughout the ages this has transpired. And the older ones here may remember the time they were addressed by their father or mother, maybe even on a deathbed. But grant that we do it readily, seriously, as fathers and mothers to our children. And grant that the children indeed do as they are told by thy grace and for thy praise. Have them know their need of thee, Lord Jesus Christ. Let them be seekers of Christ, who said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Bless us now in the closing of this service in Sunday school, and bring us also together this afternoon for Jesus' sake only. Amen. Let's sing the first stanza of 322, and then the doxology will be number 50. The third stanza, 322, how shall the young direct their way? One stanza.